desire to think about the nature of life or the nature of the world. They are only required to think, you know, how do you build a better computer? How do you make more money? How do you build a more obsolete car? But the nature that a person should sit for 30 years and contemplate what is the nature of life, that is not very appealing in our time. But for many, many thousands of years in the Western world, that was the ultimate job. That was the highest form of wisdom, was a philosopher, someone who contemplated these things. And in the Eastern religions, even today, I mean, those are the gurus and all these guys, right? They're all contemplating their navel, thinking about how they're going to solve all the problems of the world and make it all fit into a system. Now, the great thing about philosophy is that one should not take it too seriously. Because if you take it seriously, you can go off your mind, because it never comes out. There's the, you know, the old story about the great philosopher who lies on his deathbed, and his favorite disciple, seeing that this great man is about to leave the world, bends over to him, and he says to him, Master, he said, tell us before you go, what is the secret of life? And the master, with his last breath, he croaks out, he says, life is a river. So the disciple repeats it, life is a river. And then the second disciple said, the master said, life is a river. And it goes all around the bed, all the way out the hall where everybody's lined up. And the master said, life is a river. In the back row, there's one guy, he says, what does he mean that life is a river? So it comes all the way back around. Everybody says, what does the master mean? Life is a river. Life is a... So the guy, the chief disciple, and now the master is really gone. He's 90% gone. He says, before you go, he says, tell us, what does it mean? Life is a river. So the master says, so it's not a river. Now that's an excellent definition of philosophy, right? It's not a river. But philosophy was taken not only seriously, it was the ultimate. So the Gemara says, where did philosophy begin in the world? So the Gemara says it begins with Shlomo HaMelech. King Solomon is the father of philosophy, at least in the Western world. And those who read the book of Koheles see in it that what the Gemara meant, because the book of Koheles really examines all of the possible philosophic answers that exist in the world, and he does away with all of them. In effect, he shows you where the blanket is too short. Why this doesn't work and that doesn't work. And because of that, the book has a certain cynicism to it, because it shows the impotence of man. That here you have the wisest of all men, and he's figured everything out, but it's not, doesn't add up. So the Gemara says that 300 wise men, and whenever the word, the number 300 is used in the Gemara does not mean it literally. 300 is a Lashon Guzma, it means many. Many wise men, Mechachme Atuna, from the wise men of Athens, came to meet with Shlomo. And Shlomo is the one who put the bug of philosophy into them. He's the one that got him started on this idea. Because in the ancient world, the Greeks were a nation of philosophers. Not only a nation of philosophers, a philosopher was the most respected member of the community and the most dangerous member of the community. As we will see when Socrates is put to death. Today there would be no reason to put Socrates to death, because he wouldn't have much of a following. He would not be a threat to the government. But in the Greek world, a philosopher was held in such esteem that he was the single most subversive member of society if he wished to be. He alone could undermine the government. So the Gemara teaches us, that's the Jewish viewpoint, that philosophy is really an adjunct of Torah.